Judd's Napa Valley Show. Every episode, a veritable cornucopia of Finkel fun.
Get ready for another heapful of fascinating things to know from witty and intriguing people on Judd's Napa Valley Show. No stale script and no rehearsing, live from a Napa studio. You may be that intriguing person on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Pardon me, I'll have a Chardonnay. A marvelous date, it's hard to say. I know we never talk about the Sauvignon Blanc. It's a must-have on the podcast. It's Judd's Napa Valley Show. You can't ease this flow if I elaborate over a Cabernet. My buddy's the truth. You should study my man Juddy and learn something new.
And now, live from the Tom Young Studios at Broadcast Park, where visitors have been welcomed since 1947, it's a special edition of Judd's Napa Valley Show. Aloha to Broadcast Park. I'm Lauren Mole, and here's your host, Judd Finkelstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lauren Mole. It is a pleasure to be here, bidding a fond aloha to Broadcast Park, welcoming guest to Napa Valley Radio since 1947. Soon we are moving to new digs.
Oh, man, Judd, I can't wait. I am so excited.
What's got you fired up? What are you looking forward to in the new place?
Oh, why, the glass windows, of course.
You want people to see you.
Yes.
And Lauren needs to be seen to be believed.
And what else am I looking forward to?
Yes, what?
The new lobby and reception area at the front of the new building.
And what will go on there that has got you all jazzed?
Oh, well, a new front desk, maybe a new furniture, maybe a new... A slick, high-definition television set?
Okay. Well, that's all good stuff. And what about the webcam? I haven't had confirmation that there will be a webcam. I know you want a webcam. You've wanted one for years so people could see what we're up to. Always see how sharply you're dressed and how coiffed your hair is. Have you heard? Will there be that opportunity now?
Yes.
Well, there you have it, folks. A Judd's Napa Valley Show exclusive. What else is going on, Lauren Mole, before we get into this whole show? You said this is a special edition, and I'm going to explain why in a moment.
Okay.
But dear listeners, just know that it will be, and it is. We've got quite a guest. But what's going on with you quickly? Any plugs, any personal appearances, any stadium gigs?
Well, I recently went to, on Wednesday, I went to this KVY and remote they were doing a remote with Big Rick Stewart at this hip new barbecue place. It's at West Imola Avenue at the River Park Shopping Center near the Maxwell Bridge. I'm not going to give you the name.
He's giving plugs, everyone. Yes, go ahead. That's okay. They I'm sure gave some money to the station.
It was Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Okay. You're welcome to pipe in here, guest.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah, you haven't been introduced yet, but you can pipe in.
I just
got
to get used to this here.
I know. So. I know. It's killing you to have a microphone and go for it. But yes, I went down there too. I saw you there. It was lovely.
We had a lot of fun. And I got a free Mr. Dickie's Barbecue Cookbook as well.
Did you flip through it? Any recipes you're going to?
I did. Oh, man, the brisket. Oh, man. That sounds delicious.
Well, I'm going to Austin tomorrow, so we'll check out the Austin barbecue against Dickie's. Dickie's does a good job, and I heard on the way over that Mr. Dickie himself is going to be here coming up, Wednesday, 11:01 or something like that?
Yeah. This coming Wednesday he's coming back?
True. I just heard Big Rick Stewart today.
Okay, well, there you have it,
during
folks.
During the What's Happening, Cal.
He missed last Wednesday. Apparently he was under the weather. His daughter was signing books, so I'm glad to hear he's coming back. Lauren, anything else? Do you have a stadium? Are you... That's your thing. Usually when I say, what's going on, you say, I'm at the arena, I'm at the baseball park, I'm at the...
Day on the green.
Yeah, singing, like, for real.
Not right now, though, but I'll let you know when the time comes around.
Okay.
Because we may be singing for the three-time world champion San Francisco Giants again for the first time at Oracle Ballpark.
Oracle Ballpark. Okay, and all information on that will be posted at...
www.everybodystar.org.
And do you want to... Just briefly give the pitch for that?
Well, Everybody is a Star is a nonprofit organization based in Sonoma that helps special needs individuals like myself showcase our talents in professionally made broadcast quality music videos.
And I can vouch for that. If you go to everybodystar.org, Click on Lauren's video. It is fabulous. It's him looking absolutely dashing in his white tuxedo dinner jacket, singing I Can't Find You Yet, or that's what it's called, right?
I just haven't met you yet.
I knew it was something.
I thought it was
like
How Can You Miss Me When I Won't Go Away. I thought that was the song you had.
Well, no. Apparently not.
Okay.
Whatever the song, it's fabulous. Take it from me and worth checking out. Lauren.
Yes, Judd.
We're not going to get all of this show in this short time that we have.
That's
unless
fine.
We start. And I still don't think we're going to get it all in. But let's go. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh, we do.
Would you mind, please, introducing our esteemed guest?
For years, Napa Valley's mouthpiece, he, made early morning entertainment look easy. It's been 3 decades now since he got Judd started here. Wow. It's KVYN legend, Don DeFeci.
Well, good morning, and thank you both. Thank you,
Don, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Lauren.
A hearty handshake.
Great to be here.
Don DeFeci, I am so excited to have you here. You are a professional talker, so I'm going to ask you not to talk for a second because I want to get this out first, and then you can give me your take on this. Here I go. 30 years ago, this year, I mean, like, I'm talking as we sit here, 30 years ago, and in honor of that, by the way, I decided to dress the part. This shirt I bought in 1986, so I think I was wearing this the first time I met you in 1988. I had braces put on my teeth, so I would look the same. Do you see that? You can talk. I'm kidding. You can.
I think I had them, too.
You can pipe in. So that's how excited I am to have you here. I went full force 1980s for you. Okay, so 1988, I'm in high school. I am very interested in communication, radio. I like to play DJ, you know, with my friends. I used to put playlists together before there was even a word for that. For the lunchtime, you know, to play out on the loudspeakers at lunchtime at St. Helena High School. I was in the communications class. We did some video production up there. It was the early morning class. We had to meet before school officially started. Tons of fun. Well, a guest speaker comes in one day to our telecom class, and it is Don DeFeci. And for those of you listeners who might not be as old as I, Don DeFeci, at that time, was the man, the voice of Napa Valley, KVYN's fun, entertaining, sometimes a little wacky, morning man. And I was so excited. Oh, I get to meet this guy. He's coming to talk to our class. So far, am I getting this?
Absolutely. You're right on. I can spot the classroom.
Okay, there you go. And you tell us about, you know, working in broadcasting and what you do, what it's like being at the radio station. And you put out this open invitation. If any students would like to come down sometime, just give a ring. You'll arrange it. Well, it didn't take me 2 seconds. You know, I got on the phone and gave a ring, and you were very kind and said, come on in. Your show is 6 to 9 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
or 5:30.
5:30 to 9.
5:30 to 9. So it was a little extra early, but it was cool because
I didn't get there till 8, but it was 5:30 to 9.
Somebody
show,
was coming so. From you. And I came down and observed. I'd never seen somebody do radio, and I was absolutely floored. You know, I was used to the whole talk. All right, everyone, that was Phil Collins with whatever the song is. And
One More Night.
One More Night. And coming up next, we've got Elton John. In the meantime, you know, be sure to get on down to the roller rink where so-and-so is going. You know, whatever. The whole rap and everything. And talking, was it up the ramp? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Where the music is kind of playing, but you stop just before the vocals. And then you
walk it up.
Walk it up. Thank you. And then you turn the mics off and you turn to us and give a smile like, wow, that is slick. I want to learn to do that. You were very kind. And you said, you know what? I think I came back the next week again just to watch again. And then you gave a call and said, there is an opening Sunday mornings. And it was playing the Casey Kasem Top 40 Countdown, which
America's
came on a record.
40. Yeah.
A record, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Vinyl. Came every week.
And then we used to toss them when it was – I mean, imagine if you had those things today,
oh,
you know, all those great recordings.
Collector's items.
Mm-hmm.
So my only responsibility was dropping a needle on a record at 6 a.m. Then when it got to the end of the record, play a commercial, turn the record over, drop the needle again. And I did that till 9 for 3 hours, putting a needle on a record and taking it off. I did that for 1 week, exactly 1 week, until I got a call I don't remember if it was from you. I think it was from someone else, maybe the station manager, program director, somebody saying, we heard you're here. We need somebody 6 to 9 on air Sunday nights. Can you do it? Like, just throwing me into the fire.
Can I do it?
I said, sign me up. I came down. They said, don't worry. I said, I've never turned on the microphone. I never had to do that. I don't know how to do that part of it. I don't know how to do the rotation of songs. I said, don't worry. The DJ on before you will stay and help you through it. Not a problem. So I show up, and the DJ wraps up his shift. I go on at 6, and he shows me the how to turn on the microphone. And there was a little card catalog with color codes that told me what type of song, either a current hit, an oldie.
Yep.
Exactly. Something that was, you know, in heavy rotation. Mm-hmm. So you played that according to what time it was. He showed me that, and he said, all right, have fun. I've got a date. And he left. Do you hear that? Do you hear that sound of silence?
Yeah.
That was basically...
That's called dead air.
That was my show for 3 hours. I just kept playing music. I was petrified to say a thing.
Well, you've come a long way, baby.
Well, I'll tell you, that got my start. And what really... I told my folks, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I can't do this. They said, look, you have... This is something you've been wanting to do. It's in you. You enjoy this so much. You've got to go back. You've got to work through it. Make it happen. And the program director asked for an air check where you record yourself. So I put one together, and he said, Judd, listen to your air check. And the only thing I can tell you is that you've got – oh, I can't say this word on the air. What do we usually use when we do those? Shirt. We say the word shirt. So I'm going to use that. Pardon me. He said, you've – and I don't know what this means, but I took it as a compliment. He said, you've got a voice that could – and as it cracks as I say that, you've got a voice that could knock a buzzard off a shirt wagon –
my favorite expression.
I don't know it.
Yeah.
But that was my introduction to it. He says, but let's work on some bits. You know, say something, though. Use that voice. And that encouraged me to maybe scan the paper, see maybe there's something interesting to talk about. If there was an artist I was playing that was going to be in concert, I could talk about that.
Have a little story to tell.
Have a little story to tell. And that got me going. And I thank you, sir, for putting me on this path that has given me nothing but enjoyment to that day. It has found me untold riches. That part's not true. But soul enriching, for sure.
How nice.
That being said, and I say thank you, that's my story as it pertains to you, Mr. Don DeFeci. Now let's talk about you.
Well,
and I'm excited. I've
well, first of all, I want to acknowledge your wonderful mother and father, and that's how I met you, Judd. I remember when the family had Whitehall Lane, and I was doing in the wine cellar and doing interviews with all of the various and the sundry really stars. You know, always struck me that we would living in St. Helena would go to Peter's Video on a Friday night, and you'd see Robert Mondavi or Warren Winiarski or Mike Gergich or anybody down there, just regular old people, right? And yet, next day you turn in the Wine Spectator, and there's their picture on the cover, and you're going, yeah, Mike Gergich took the movie that I wanted to rent last night. So, yeah.
Was that behind the curtain in the back room, or was that out for – oh, never mind.
Anyway, but I remember Mom and Dad. They were just always so nice to me. And remember seeing you at in St. Helena, you know, and all the time. So, good, great memories.
We'll go back. Great. That goes back. But let's talk about you and radio, because you really were one of these guys that – you were so well known, and you had such a large personality throughout Napa Valley. Like, it really was inspiring to see you at work that first time and subsequent times when I would come and observe you doing your gig. How did you get started? You're a Bay Area guy. Like, did you know you're originally from back east?
Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay,
and my parents were in the military, or my father was, and so we moved around quite a bit. Moved to Norfolk, Virginia, then Texas, and then in '59 moved to California over to Concord. And all I ever wanted to do from the time I was a child, literally, was to be on the radio. Grew up being a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and to this day I'm a loyal Dodger Blue fan, much to the chagrin of your listeners and all that I have to take living in the Bay Area.
Let's see if we can get Ira C. Smith in here at some point.
Absolutely.
You guys can duke it out.
But the thing was, is that rather than hit the home run like Duke Snyder, I would have rather have announced the home run for Duke Snyder. Yeah. And early on in my life, my idol was Vin Scully,
oh.
who everybody knows Vin Scully from here, but I remember him in Brooklyn when he took over in 1954 as a young announcer. And then also growing up on the East Coast, we used to get American Bandstand every day for 2 hours from 3:30 to 5:30. And I'd race home from Holy Trinity Catholic School, had my uniform on, and sat in front of the TV and just watched Dick Clark, who I just thought was the best of the best. Speaking of the best of the best.
Hey, here he comes. He heard his name. Ira C. Sports here. Just walked into the the studio. This is good. Ira, hang out. Can you hang out for a while?
Hey, I heard you mention.
Oh, let me turn your mic on. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
He heard you mention my name. Ira said, I heard my name being called.
Okay. Listen, we did a bit on KVYN each day called
Ira C.
and Donnie D. That was a fun time.
Oh, too many fun times, let me tell you. Yeah. Lots and lots of great memories. You know, wouldn't even know where to start. But so that's what I majored in broadcasting, which is actually broadcasting back in the 60s. I went to college when there were only 14 states. So, you know, it was
psychotic, euphoric, drunken. And 11 more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, I went to college at Sac State during the war years, as you know, in Vietnam. So it was a real interesting time, and you know, that's a major in broadcasting. That's how I got my start.
He is very up to date on sports too, even pseudo sports. One of his favorite, wrestling.
Absolutely. I've kind of gotten away from it because I lost track of them, but we used to do some really crazy things.
Took trips to professional wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm. Went to the Cow Palace a couple of times.
And was that through KV?
Oh, yeah. What happened was is that I got to know a guy in the World Wrestling Federation, and so we bartered out some tickets, and we started just corresponding about wrestling, and Hal Shelley at the House of Pizza.
Is that here in Napa?
Yeah, exactly. He supplied the pizzas, and we got into a bus. We gave away about 40 tickets on the air, and we went over to the Cow Palace.
It's a big bus.
Yeah, and the second one was even a bigger bus because the crowd got bigger and bigger. And I remember
what era are we talking? By the way, just put me in the
Hulk
time.
Hogan.
Okay, mid 80s.
Yeah, late 80s. 85, 86, yeah. Okay. Somewhere around there. You know, Randy Macho Man. And all those people. And I remember my first friend in the wine business is the legendary Michael Weiss from Groth Vineyards.
Sure.
And he had a young son who's now a grown man, Nate, who is now at Toomey and Silver Oak
making wine.
And we connected on Facebook, and he said, Don, I'll always remember, you know, getting in that bus and going over to the Cow Palace. I mean, people's mouths dropped open because we had great seats right
front row.
Yeah,
we had front row seats. If you can imagine that, at the they literally throw the wrestlers toward you.
Yeah. You thought they were going to land on your lap.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we really did some really really crazy things.
Hold on. I'm guessing you just said crazy things. That bus ride
was wild because
it had to be. This is the 80s.
We had
radio
and we had pizza, and we had wine because we had winemakers, and you know, people are throwing pizzas to the back. We weren't unruly by any stretch of the imagination. But it was a crazy bus ride. I think the bus ride was just as much fun as going to the wrestling match. So,
but even after that, there were parties connected with our listeners, and Donnie D continued the wrestling by wrestling against some of our listeners.
Oh, no.
Dewey Green, for example.
Lauren, what do you say? Can we start that up here? Can I put you up to wrestle some listeners? We'll make it a social media contest.
That was a fun time, though. Donnie D would get up on a sofa even and jump down on Don and Dewey.
On Rick Vasquez.
Rick Vasquez was
Rick and Bonnie. Yeah. But we were all about doing promotions on KVYN. And the thing about it was, is that, you know, during that time, when I got here, it was K99 Country. It was a country radio
station.
Right.
I heard this used to be.
Larry Gaver was the announcer then.
Mm-hmm. Larry did the afternoons, but I remember my first day that I came in here, Tom Young had me take a look around, and I walk in here for the 6 o'clock morning show, and all the lights are out, okay, and there's this young lady behind the microphone, and she's going, it's 6:05 here at K99 Country, and I'm going, well, that's going to wake a lot of people up, you know. And so basically, I came to KVYN to just kind of shake things up and cause a little trouble.
Well, you helped create what is now KVYN. I mean, the format that's been here for now 35 years or so.
You know, and I really take pride in this. I refer to it as we did in the lobby. I gave birth to this radio station over here on July the 4th, 1984.
How'd that work?
We had decided internally to change the format of the radio station because, quickly, country music was kind of like rap music. Either you liked it or you didn't like it. A lot of people just listened to the radio station because it was the local station, and it was a station that you could get, as we used to call it, I don't know if you still do, Up Valley.
Yeah.
You could get it in Yountville, Calistoga, St. Helena, Rutherford, Oakville, all of them up there. But we just weren't making a lot of money, and so I went to Tom Young and said, Tom, we really need to do something. We need to be a contemporary hit radio station, okay? And we used to call ourselves K99 Country, and I said, we need to take advantage of our call letters. And so it was kind of trendy at the time to call yourself the Fog, K-Fog,
right,
et cetera,
sure.
So I said, we're going to call ourselves The Vine, KVYN. We're not going to call ourselves K-Vine. It's going to be KVYN, The Vine. Mm-hmm. And we launched it at 6 a.m. on July the 4th. The first song we talked about before was Men at Work and Who Can It Be Now? And we did not tell our listeners.
So that's what they were thinking. Who can this be now?
Right.
Yeah.
We did not tell our listeners that we were changing the format. And you should have seen those phone lines yell. I mean, just jump, you know. And, you know, had there been security back in those days, I probably would have needed it to get home that day. So that was the birth of The Vine, and we just had so much fun.
And was that your first day as well?
No, I had been on the air.
You had been already.
K99 Country.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so,
Don had been on the air on KFRC prior to coming here, too.
Yeah, that was the legendary radio station growing up in Concord. The Big 610 was an AM radio station, and, of course, probably one of the two most famous DJs in history of radio, besides Don Sherwood, was the great Dr. Don Rose.
So there's something to the name.
Mm-hmm.
Don.
Yeah. 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 However, it's gotten to the White House, and we'll be changing that coming up soon. But that's enough for politics.
You know, I want to tie sports in again here since he's here, because Donnie D was also a big fan of the Oakland Raiders and had many connections with the Raiders.
Yep. I was fortunate enough that I traveled with the Raiders for 7 years. And if they went to Pittsburgh, I went to Pittsburgh. They went to Cincinnati, et cetera, et cetera.
Was this an official capacity, or you're creepy stalker?
I was working in radio.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it was actually at the Immaculate Reception. And a lot of people don't know who that was.
Yeah, sure.
But that was when Franco Harris.
Yeah.
And we all flew on the same plane. So you flew on the plane with the ball players, and flying back from that particular trip, and, you know, did he tip it? Didn't he? I mean, it was just
Was it crazier than the bus ride to the wrestling match?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, no question about that. And you know, got to go to a couple of World Series with the Oakland A's because you know, did sports reporting over there with guys like Gene Tennis, Joe Rudy, Catfish Hunter, Vita Blue, Campy Campaneras, you know, Dick Green, all of these guys.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Dick Green, he popped into the winery
is that right?
Not too long ago.
Wow.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right.
It's kind of nice to meet him.
So, but the days on the Vine were just, you know, totally incredible. We used to do something called, we really wanted to get out and reach the community get the community involved. So we started something called Donuts with Don. Okay, where people would send in their business card, and then we'd pick a business card at random, and then every Wednesday, I'd get off the air at 9, and we'd travel over to a business. Had the Buttercream Bakery. I saw the box here this morning. They would donate the donuts, and then we had some great engineers back then. We had Dave Paulson and Dave Fortenberry and
Mike Martindale,
Wink, we used to call him. And they would go ahead of time, and they'd set up, and we'd broadcast live from, you know, First America Title Company or wherever it was. And it was really a blast. And then what we did is, to get listeners involved even more, we did dinner with Don. And it was up at – we did the dinner at the up in St. Helena, North Cement Works, I think
It's called. Then became the outlets, and now
You got a break going on. Quite a few times.
Did you need a break?
You got a couple minutes, or couple seconds.
Okay, so finish the story. Bathroom's down the hall, and it's to the right.
There, it's still there after 70 years. It's still right there. But finish that story, and then, we got to take a quick break, and we'll come back.
And then the last thing we did dinner with Don member Ellie Sanders. And so we had about four couples, and Ellie was the hostess, I was the host, and we just did dinner until, they had to close. And so
fun
time that we did, just kind of, getting out and doing things.
That sounds, I think we should start that up. We'll call it Feasting with the Fink.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. We've got Don DeFeci, legend of Napa Valley Radio, and joining us, surprise guest. And I love it. So hang out if you can. Iris E Sports has walked in to join the conversation. Yeah. Talk about a legend of Napa Valley Radio.
Hello.
We got two right here. Three with Mr. Lauren Mole over here. And then me, just this wannabe. I was just thinking, sitting when I first started here, and you got me going. I'm definitely older now than you were then. Yet I still think through the eyes of a little kid and think of you as this like statesman, like elder statesman. But you couldn't have been more than much more than 40 years old at the time, and I'm much older than that now. And I still feel like this kid trying to make it happen. I don't know. It's funny how you get stuck in these times when you have that first imprint of an experience.
We can get you some help for that.
Please do. If anybody would like to call, we had a psychologist on a couple Thanksgivings ago to talk about family interactions. Maybe a Dr. Charlotte could call and help me out with that. Anyway, it's great to have you here. Don't go anywhere. And
we'll be back with this special edition of Judd's Napa Valley Show right after this.
Everyone's a Finkel friend on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show.
You're listening to Judd's Napa Valley Show.
From Napa to Santa Rosa, the North Bay is listening to 1440 KVON. Now, back to this special edition of Judd's Napa Valley Show as we say aloha to Broadcast Park.
Thank you, Lauren Mole.
Yes. Boy, he does a good job.
He's Lauren Mole.
Hey, speaking of good jobs, I've got to get this in while he's here.
Yeah.
There has never been a better DJ than Donnie D. Not only was he playing great music for the people to dance to, but you could watch him. He was so animated. He was not standing still at any time, jumping around, dancing around, and he would even get out there on the dance floor with some of the guests and all. He just was a great DJ.
It was the drugs. I mean, let's just cut right to the chase here.
Tell us all.
Yeah.
We've got in studio, as we say goodbye to Broadcast Park, we're looking back at what has happened here over the past, 70 years. We're not going back that far. We're going back as far as 30 years anyway. The guy who got me in the door, Don DeFeci, sitting here, and joining us, Iris E Sports. Ira Smith, thanks for coming in and joining the nostalgia. Appreciate it.
He's the unindicted co-conspirator.
We've had many creative people at the radio station the time that I've been here, but none more so than Donnie D.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you.
Definitely an inspiration.
Checks in the mail.
Since I've got both of you.
Let go of my arm. Enough.
Ouch. I think that's going to leave a mark, Don. Let go. I've got both of you here, and you may be the last ties to the era when I first started here. So us three, I think, are it. Is anyone else still here from
late 80s? Barry Martin. Barry was part of the new KVYN, team.
Was he here in 89, 90?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so maybe I got to ask
Larry Gaver, Barry Martin, Mark Jeffrey. We had Magic Mark. We had, of course,
Joe McConnell, who, by the way, is going to be on Friday with me.
Okay.
Oh, good. Right. Good. That'll be good.
And, we assembled a really, really fabulous air team over there, all really on their own, all solid personalities.
Well, I'm happy to have been included in that in some small part. So here's what I got to ask you guys. And I may have brought this up when Ira, you were my guest a while back. I don't recall. Forgive me if I'm repeating. But holidays came around. So Christmas, 89. You know what, Don? You may have split by then.
No, I split in 90. April of 1990.
April of 90. Okay, so you may have been there. Okay, so here. Good. This pertains then. You might have some insight. The big holiday party is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we had little mail. Everyone had a little mailbox in the back with their name, and people could put, you know, notes and information. And I pull out the notice for the holiday party. It says, please let whoever it is know if you want, you know, chicken or fish, you know, something like that. And if you're bringing somebody. So I did that, and I got the response, well, oops, actually, you're not invited. You know, like, I got the note. Well, I don't know, the whole...
Somebody's got to be here.
Well, I've got a story about that, too. You know, low man on the totem pole, and I... You know, I didn't put up a big fight, but I guess enough of like, well, you put an invitation.
Said because Don didn't get that note either.
Yeah. So they relented, like, all right, you can come to the party, you know. So I come to the party, and there's a Secret Santa thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And I even arranged, it's not really a date, but it's a lady friend from high school. So I felt like kind of a big shot, you know, this is a big deal for me. I get to go to the radio station holiday party with a lady and kind of show off and talk about wild thing. I mean, there's stuff I cannot repeat that went on at this, and it was a public place where this party was, and the
oh, then I must have been there.
Yeah,
stuff you couldn't repeat.
You know, who knows what substances were being, you know, I was pretty straight in those days as a teenager, you know, didn't even sneak any sip of wine or anything, but obviously some people had. The language, the subject matter, my ears, I was red, most of it. But Secret Santa comes along, and I get a note from my Secret Santa, and the note says, I owe you one, trust me. It's been 30 years. Anybody here want to fess up to being my Secret Santa?
No.
Did either of you owe me something?
No.
Lauren wasn't even born yet, by the way, so I can't look at him.
Wow.
Okay, no. Okay, no?
No.
All right, then the search continues. Maybe I'll put it out on the social media. Who knows? But yeah, speaking of who else can we get, you know, somebody's got to be there. That was Christmas night, so it must have been 89.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is going to come sit in? Except the low man on the totem
That's
pole.
Right.
Finkelstein's going
to
sit in.
We all had to pay our dues at some radio station somewhere along the line.
That's it. So I'm sitting in this exact spot on the KVON side, a studio I had never entered in my life. I could barely operate the FM site on my own. And they say, you're going to operate it from here. It's a simulcast, so it's all going to happen from here. But I wasn't familiar with anything here. You just play the tape of Christmas music all night, and then you break in with the news at the, you know, a few minutes before the hour, play the ID, and then come back to the Christmas music and announce what it is. And so I take a break, I announce, and I brought a friend with me. I don't know how he got out of family obligations, but he came down with me. We drank non-alcoholic eggnog and ate pizza. It was kind of fun, actually. We had our own Christmas party. But I do the announcement, go back to music, the phone rings, I pick it up. It's a high school buddy of mine up in St. Helena, and he said, dude, you just announced the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And I said, what? No, I said, Mormon Tabernacle. That's who was singing. He's like, you said Tabernacle. I turned, you know, I said, all right, thanks. I'll be careful. I hung up. I turned to my friend and said, did I say Tabernacle? He said, I don't think so. I think you said it right.
Oh, man.
But it put the germ in my head. And to this day, I trip up over that word.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing how things can stick? Talk about needing a psychologist.
Speaking of tripping up, let me just ask Donnie D. this question. If he remembers setting up to be the DJ for the Napa Kiwanis Crab Feet.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the worst day of my life in the Napa Valley. I had a company called the Great American Dance Party. It was a mobile DJ.
Yeah, I remember this.
I happened to be one of the first in the Bay Area, and then came to the Napa Valley and just kind of made the Napa Valley my exclusive place because there was enough business. And the generosity of so many of the businesses in the area was the Kiwanis Crab Feed.
Legendary, famous.
Oh, I mean, 1,000, 1,200 people. I mean, yeah. Just amazing. And what happened was the equipment all set up. This wasn't the first time I had done it, about 3 or 4 years in. And evidently a plug had come out. And somebody walking by took the plug, the master plug, and plugged it into a
220.
A 220. And fried all of my equipment.
Oh, no.
Yeah, before it all started.
Yeah, it's ruined.
And I think Chief Dan Menez brought in a patrol car with a loudspeaker just so he could make the announcements. Cause here I am packing up the equipment. And going, well, the show's got to go on. But, you know, that was one of those things that happened. It kind of reminded me of a story about when I first started here. I'd gotten here in April of 83, and we were still K99 country. And we did a lot of live broadcast. And remember the old broadcast park trailer that we had?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh, it was hideous. But it was fun looking, gaily colored, yellow, blue, et cetera. And we were doing a broadcast from the shopping center down on, God, I can't remember the name of it, downtown Napa. And, you know, the adage about never ask a question that you don't already know the answer to. Well, this was living history, and we were doing something like the phrase that pays. When you hear the DJ say this phrase, if you're the ninth caller, then you'd win a prize, okay? Yeah. And we were doing that all the time. But in this case, we'd said, if you're the first person to drive up to our broadcast party, you're going to get, you know, the tickets. Of course, they wouldn't allow that anymore for insurance purposes.
Sounds like a horrible idea.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Demolition Derby.
Yeah, like the turkey drive. So,
we're
a country music station, and playing a song, and all of a sudden this car drives up, and it looked like a wide town Pontiac. I mean, it was just old, low to the ground, the whole nine yards. And out of the driver's seat gets this little guy. He's probably 5'7", thin as a rail, not an ounce of fat on him. I mean, just thin as can be. And out of the other side comes his wife. And she would give, you know, Hulk Hogan a run for her money. She was on the
stout
plus side. Okay, is that the gentle word to say? And so we get out, we're doing the interview and having a great time. You know, where are you from? And, oh, you know, we came down, they drove from like Calistoga or someplace like that. And so Donnie D had been on the air for about 4 months, hadn't really connected with the audience, which I would say takes a while for people to accept you here in the Napa Valley. Ira's still working on that. So I turned to the lady and I said, and miss, when is your baby due?
Oh, no. Were you being sincere or were you trying to be funny?
Yes, I was being sincere.
Well, that's...
And she said, I'm not pregnant.
Of course she did. Donnie D, man, you know better than that.
Oh, man. Well, by the time I got back to the radio station, I got called into Tom Young's office. I mean, the phone was ringing off the hook. So, anyway, that's one of those stories.
Now would be a good time for that webcam, Lauren. You know, if folks could see Don's face just telling that story, you got a little red, and I think your eyes missed it up a little bit.
Wait a minute, Judd, we haven't moved to the new place yet.
Well, okay, come back and tell that story. But no, obviously that affected you. I can see it in your face.
And the other, you know, two things I'm really proud of. One is that KVYN, I'm looking at the time here, make sure I have enough time.
Yeah, I'll cue you.
KVYN was licensed to the town of St. Helena, okay? And KVON is licensed to Napa. And so one of the first things that I always did when I went to the Vine was when we do the ID at the top of the hour, we'd be KVYN, St. Helena, Napa, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so we really established a presence up Valley. You know, Napa got a little bit upset about it because it was a much bigger town. But it was always KVYN, St. Helena, Napa, and then we throw in another
one. One of the other ones.
American Canyon.
Exactly.
Or Calistoga, or whatever the case might be. And two things that come to mind. We were given the task of having to do local things, okay, for local interest, which was fabulous. And one of the things was the school lunch program. Well, what could be more boring than the school lunch program, all right? And the Napa people didn't really get behind it, but up in St. Helena, they really got behind it. And we had two gals that would do the school lunch program, and it was a laugh riot every morning. And we had, and they would say, "And we're going to have a hamburger or chili chips and cheese." And yes. One time she said,
"I remember this.
We're going to have."
I was in school at the time, right. And I would listen. Yeah,
and
that was
she
great.
Says, "And today we're having beanie weenies."
Yes,
and they became the beanie weenie
queenies. I haven't thought about that in 30 years.
They would turn out for live broadcasts. Yeah. They became celebrities, the whole thing.
The Beanie Weenie Queenies.
Beanie Weenie Queenies.
Oh, my gosh.
Between that and my Up Valley cohort in crime, Bob Fellion.
Oh, sure.
We used to have Fellion's Deli and was just one of my closest friends along with Ira in the Napa Valley.
Yeah.
And Bob would have all the local scoop from what was going on in St. Helena, Calistoga. I mean, we really, really made it. You know, a local program in the morning.
Another natural on-air personality, Bob Fellion.
Well, Don had a big following on the FM. He was on the air there, and you looked through the glass, and you would see George Carl, who was on the AM at the same time. And these two guys, they would have eye contact, and it's hard to say what they would come up with. But they were on two different radio stations, but were in eye contact with each other and had some hand signals and gyrate.
We had like one main hand signal.
You can't point a webcam at that one.
That's right.
And Donnie D would help George Carl as far as arranging his program for the day. George would get in about 6 o'clock. He's supposed to be on the air at 6. He'll get here just about that time, and Donnie D would be here ahead of time.
We'd have to do everything for George. God love him and rest his soul. But we'd have to record programs for him, have everything queued up so that you know, the diva could just walk in and sit down and, you know, and do his thing. And so one morning in particular, we had to write the news headlines for him. So literally, I mean, I would love to have somebody do that for me in the morning, okay? So George would get here at 6:01. I'd get here at 4:45, okay? So we're doing the news headlines, and I was working with Joe McConnell, and there was a death of a vineyard owner, farmer, et cetera.
Prominent vineyard.
Up Valley. And so the slug line that I wrote was something to the case of noted winemaker buys the farm because he had passed away.
Oh, no.
So George's headline was major farm purchase in the
Up Valley.
Then he's got to read the story, and he finds out that so-and-so had died. Always keep the people that are taking care of you. Keep them
on your toes. We haven't even gotten to some of the bits, the characters you used to do. You used to host Swap Shop as well. Not only were you the morning guy, you did Swap. Yeah. You got some stories about folks calling into that. You used to like to play with them.
Well, one of the things was to have a little cheat sheet, and we had some callers that would call in all the time. They would call in every day.
You'd recognize their voice.
Recognize their voice, and so I'd say, "Oh, yes, you have the sofa for sale. You're at 227-1717. They go, "Wow, how do you do that?" Well, radio is theater of the mind. You're creating a visual in somebody's mind about what's going on. In fact, I remember meeting a listener once, and the first thing they said to me was, "Wow, you sound thinner."
Oh, and you can imagine 30 years ago.
What they say about me, too.
Folks used to come and see me. Very rarely was anybody ever in the building Sunday nights when I was here, but once in a while, folks would come in, even folks who worked here who had never met me. They'd look, "You're Judd?"
Yeah.
It was like this 17-year-old kid with braces doing his homework, you know, between songs.
They do create a vision. And one of the visuals, or you know, one of the visions was a character that was on every day called Shake Your Booty.
Shake Your Booty.
And, you know, I found out in life that they weren't called sheiks. They were called shakes. And so I guess there was somebody that was a president of Pakistan at the time, and his last name was Booty, B-H-U-T-T-I, for kind of a common name in Pakistan. And then, of course, there was Casey and the Sunshine Band with the song Shake Your Booty. So, you know, just did a little research, and we came up with this is the great, 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 great Shake Your Booty. You know, psychic phenomenon, perceptor of all things, and all around good guy. But we'd set it up with there's a three humped camel parked.
That probably wouldn't fly these days.
Yeah,
but
that's okay.
But we're in a time machine. Go for it.
Yeah, that was a three humped camel parked in the parking lot, and there's a trail of sand leading down the hallway here, and people bought it. One day we had.
Wait, what do you mean they bought it? They thought this was an actual.
Well, I'll explain.
Okay, theater of the mind. Here we go.
We had a group of school kids come in to take a tour. And we used to have a window. I don't know if there's still a window over here to look into KVYN. Is there a window there?
No. Well, there's in the door, there's a little window.
Oh, no, we used to have a big window.
No, I remember that. They kind of redid the studio.
Okay, and so the school kids are walking down to go into the newsroom at the time that I'm doing Shake Your Booty. And here I am going, this is the great, great, and the look on their face when they find out that there's, you know, not some guy with a turban on his head and there's no three-humped camel, and, you know, but they... You know,
visualize that.
Yeah, they visualized it. So, yeah, lots of characters, lots of fun things. I used to have a guy. He was a southern guy from Texas. His name was Bubba, and he lived in Plano, Texas. So we just called him Plano Bubba. So,
and he was calling in the swap shop from Texas?
No, it was on the FM.
Oh, the FM side. Sorry.
He was just a character that would come in and
Now you fooled me. So, I'm thinking you've got a real guy. You're talking one of your characters. This is confusing.
Yeah, well,
okay.
But life was pretty much confusing back in those days anyway, Judd. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he would talk to himself quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a lot of answers, too. Mostly wrong.
Phil Hendry-esque. Yeah, man. So swap shop, I do want to get back because I know you've got a couple stories about playing with folks.
Well, the best one was people were kind of shy about calling in on the swap shop. You know, being on the radio and, you know, am I on and stuff like this. And there's a obviously very, very shy lady. And she called in and she had one item for sale. But the way that she said it was, she wanted to buy an item. And so she gets on the radio and I said, yes, swap shop, Don DeFeci, can I help you? Yes, I'm looking for a one-night stand. She wanted a nightstand. She wanted one nightstand. But the way it came out of the radio was, I'm looking for a one-night stand.
And did the phone light up? Did she have some takers? Some givers? I don't know.
Just classic. So, you know, those stories. I mean, people...
Can't make those kind of things up.
No. And, you know, it was another example of, you could have a community program which could potentially be pretty boring. You know, I've got a ream of paper for a dollar. And so, and so you had to make something of it. You had to engage the listener, get them talking, and then we get multiple lines going and stuff like that. And so you turn the swap shop into, you know, something that was always going to be fun because that's what it had to be.
No, people would talk about that show.
Always had to
Absolutely.
Be fun.
You always had a buzz around that. This is crazy. We're out of time. But. There's more I want to talk about. Can you hang out for a few more minutes? Ira, can you hang out for a few minutes?
Well, you've got Donnie D here.
Here's what we do. We're going to sign off here in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Listeners, if you're listening live right now, another fabulous program is going to come on. We're going to keep recording in the background. When this posts as a podcast on the iTunes store, just look for Judd's Napa Valley Show. All the past episodes are there, and they're free. There will be extra podcast content. Including, well, you've listened to the show. We're going to do a little Mad Libs game. We're going to have some fun. So hang out, listeners, for the next show and then come back
Donnie
to the podcast.
Has so many stories.
We're going to hear some more.
Go on and on.
And the motto is never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Ain't that the fact? So, Don DeFeci, thank you so much.
You bet, Jeff.
But don't
thank
go anywhere. We're going to keep going. Ira, thank you for popping in. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Lauren Moll.
This is Lauren Mole speaking for Judd's Napa Valley Show, a Gil Amar production.